Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on the book of Exodus. Today's sermon is titled, Welcomed and Used, and is based on Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 27. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Turn with me in your Bibles to our Old Testament reading to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 66. The Lord having brought his people out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, is leading his people in the wilderness, training them, teaching them to rely upon him, and not just for redemption and for their justification, but for sanctification as well, growth in grace. Israel is being brought to Mount Sinai. They are in the region of Mount Sinai, and Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes bringing his wife, that is Moses' wife, and his two sons. And it is here that we pick up our reading in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13. We'll read to the end of the chapter. This is God's holy and inspired word. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they themselves judged every small case. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. This is God's word. What is your response to the hearing of it? Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can imagine being welcomed into a group. And as you are welcomed, a warm embrace is given unto you. And then you are promptly told, but you need to go and sit in the corner and not say a thing. Suddenly you don't feel so welcomed anymore. You feel like you don't really belong. We can all sometimes experience something like that. Well, as we return back to our preaching series in Exodus chapter 18, we see that the Lord himself welcomes a stranger from afar. Now, he's not a stranger in the sense that he is completely unknown, but Rather, he is Moses' father-in-law. The last time that we had seen him was back in Exodus chapter 4. But last Lord's Day, we learned that the Lord welcomed Jethro, a pagan priest of Midian, welcomed him even as he did so through the personal witness of his son-in-law, Moses. We know that the Bible teaches faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God worked even through the personal witness of Moses. God worked through his word, which Moses spoke to his father-in-law about who God is and what God had done, and Jethro heard. Jethro heard the word of God. He rejoiced in the works of God. He gave praise to the one true and living God and acknowledged there is no other God like Jehovah. And he offered sacrifices to the one true and living God, and the Lord welcomed him to fellowship, table fellowship with his people. That's what we had seen last week, as the Lord welcomed this outsider, this one brought from afar, this one who was a worshiper of false gods, and welcomed him as he worked through his word to show him the Lord God Almighty and to work faith in his heart that he might trust in him alone. And so Jethro has heard, Jethro has rejoiced, Jethro has given praise, Jethro has acknowledged, Jethro has sacrificed, and Jethro has experienced table fellowship with the people of God. But what do we learn today as this chapter continues on? Well, we learn that God doesn't only welcome us from afar, but he now uses this one whom he welcomes. God now uses Jethro in verses 13 through 27. So God doesn't only welcome Jethro, he uses him. He uses him in a particular and special way. Well, when does the Lord use Jethro? We might think, well, after many years of discipleship, and after much sanctification and growth in grace, then only then could God use Jethro. We might get the idea that God would say, go sit in the corner, don't say anything for a number of years. You're welcome, but we're not going to quite use you yet. Well, what does the text say? Verse 13, and so it was on the next day. And so the very next day, after the Lord had worked in Jethro's heart to bring him into fellowship with himself and with his blood-bought people, on the very next day, God uses Jethro. We read all about how God uses Jethro in this instance. There's no waiting around for him to be useful. Rather, he has a part to play amongst the people of God. Now, don't miss that. Don't miss that when God calls you unto himself, opens your eyes to see his glorious and wondrous works in his Son, Jesus Christ, converts you and grants you faith and repentance, brings you into fellowship with himself and with his people, that God wants to use you, that God welcomes you in order to put you to work, to be an instrument, a tool in his hand. Now think how this connects to our New Testament reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're told that we, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are one body with many members, and that every member is needed. There are no extraneous members in the body, but that all are needed. The eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you. The ear cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. No, every member is needed. And here we see how God not only welcomes a sinner to himself, Jethro, But he uses him. He uses him the very next day after bringing him into fellowship with himself and with his people. But how? How does God use Jethro? That's the second question of this passage. How does the Lord use Jethro? Well, he does so through meaningful engagement and involvement. Through meaningful engagement and involvement. Think about it. If you just kind of glance through these verses, we see Jethro observing. We see Jethro asking questions. We see Jethro carefully listening to answers. We see Jethro responding. He is not disinterested. He is engaged. He's not sitting on the fringes, but he is fully involved. And this is something which we should not miss in this passage. He doesn't have a disinterested, well, that's not my problem sort of attitude. Or worse, he doesn't have an attitude where he sees some things that are wrong and then goes around gossiping in the midst of the church and saying, boy, the leadership sure is a mess, aren't they? No, he's involved. He's engaged. He has respectful engagement towards Moses, the prophet of the Lord, towards Moses, the mediator of God's people. He has meaningful engagement and involvement. Now, again, the application just kind of oozes right out of this passage. That God would call upon all whom he welcomes to himself in Jesus Christ and brings into fellowship with his covenant people in the church, that God would call all to be engaged and involved, to be interested, and to indeed be contributors. Now, it's true that we need to be people who are taught. We need to be people who are discipled. We need to be people who grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us. But we learn, we are fed, we are given to, in order that we might be engaged, used, that we might be a people who are indeed equipped to be involved in the life of the body of Christ. It's so critical that we see this sort of meaningful engagement and involvement, which is just something which naturally follows after Jethro has been welcomed by the Lord, even through the Lord's word of grace. That this engagement and involvement is substantive. It is intentional. It is something which can be seen. Now, let's think about what happens in this engagement here as he observes, asks, listens, and responds. Jethro, in watching what goes on, he watches his son-in-law from the rising of the sun to its setting, being, as it were, the person who resolves challenging issues, conflict, and difficulties amongst the people of God. He sees his son-in-law sitting to judge the people, that is, to make decisions on behalf of the people, and the people standing before Moses from morning to evening. And he asks the question in verse 14, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And he listens then to Moses' response. Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty or a dispute, they come to me. Interestingly enough, evidently the people And I know this is going to come as a shock. The people don't just murmur and complain against Moses. They do that. We've already seen that. But they murmur and complain against one another. They have disputes with one another too. And so they come to Moses, the one whom they've been complaining about, grumbling about, and actually now they come to him and grumble about their neighbor. And they come and they seek his settling of the matter, his teaching them what the truth is and applying the word of God to their situation. They come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. And Jethro says, now Moses, this is unsustainable. This is not good. This is not something which can be sustained for the long haul. You're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out. You talk about a backup in the courts. You can imagine, you know, people waiting in line all the day long, all the week long, all the month long to get a hearing before Moses. And you can imagine Moses becoming tireder and tireder every day. Talk about ministerial burnout. Here it is. Here it is. And Jethro is used by the Lord to identify a problem, but not just to identify a problem. Some people are really good at identifying problems, but that's all they're good at. But he doesn't just identify a problem. He gives a solution, a proposed solution as well. He says, look, Moses, people have needs. And when you're talking about ministry, people's needs never end. They never do, because we're needy people. Every one of us, including the one standing before you today, we're all needy, and our needs never end. But Moses, there's a better way. There's a better way. This is too large a load, too heavy a burden for you to carry by yourself. You need to spread the load, divide and conquer. There needs to be a division of labor. Now, there needs to be organization for that to take place. And you can imagine a military commander understanding it with regards to divide and conquer. You can imagine an economist assessing it and saying there needs to be a division of labor. Or you can imagine the Bible saying there needs to be, and I use this deliberately, there needs to be Presbyterianism. You say, I'm not sure Presbyterianism is here in Exodus chapter 18. Ah, what is Presbyterianism? Well, as one author put it, the spiritual rule of God's people by a representative group of godly men called elders. And the Greek word for elder is presbyteros. And that's where the word Presbyterian comes from. And this is the establishment here in Israel of a joint group of godly men ruling and shepherding the people. The load needs to be spread. You stand before God, you teach, you show in great matters, but you need to add others alongside of yourself. They need to be added alongside of yourself carefully. In fact, Jethro says you should have some qualifications. Verse 21, you shall select from all the people able men, literally men of valor, such as fear God. That is, they fear God more than man. Why is that important? Because leadership so often is tempted to please man instead of pleasing God. And that can go in one of two directions, can't it? It can go in the direction where leadership is weak and timid, and won't say what needs to be said because I'm afraid what Bob might think about it. But it can also go in the other direction, that I love myself so much that I abuse my authority. And so either I fear others and I'm too timid, or I have way too high an opinion of myself and therefore I misuse authority and abuse people by my exercise of it. What's the solution? Fear God. Fear God more than man, and fear God more than yourself. And so here's the qualifications, right? The careful qualifications. Men of valor, such as fear God, men who are truthful and trustworthy, who keep their word, who are reliable, hating covetousness. Again, why hating covetousness? Because we can covet the praise of men, and thus our leadership be distorted and defiled. Flattery goes a long way in a man's heart, doesn't it? But if he hates covetousness, he won't be influenced by flattery. And even if one's stooped down to pay a bribe, well, if I just line your pockets, and maybe that bribe comes in the way of taking you out for lunch, or taking you out on my boat, or taking you up to my cabin. Men who are men of valor, who fear God, who are men of truth, who hate covetousness. And take these ones and intentionally place them together with you over the people of God so that the needs of the people might be met and that you might not be worn out. You continue to teach the Word of God, continue to inquire of God on behalf of the people of God, and continue with the hard matters, but all other matters, let them be distributed unto these who are placed over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And here the Lord uses Jethro. Do all of this, Jethro says, in dependence upon God. Now this is important here. That Jethro, this new convert, right, is not just coming bringing worldly wisdom and saying to Moses, you just need to accept it because, you know what, I'm street smart. I've been a priest in Midian for a while and I know how these things work and you just need to take my word for it. But if you look at verse 23, you'll see that Jethro, who is street smart, who does have long experience in his life and sees how things work. But in verse 23, look what he says. If you do this thing and God so commands you. In other words, Jethro, this new convert, this new believer, this one in new fellowship with God and with his people, is humble about it. And he says, if you do this thing and if God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. In other words, Jethro doesn't bring a commandment to his son-in-law, abusing his authority as father-in-law, but he says, ask of God. Ask and see if this is God's command. And the parallel passage in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, and you can read of that this afternoon, shows that Moses had indeed inquired of the Lord to see whether or not this was the Lord's will and command. And so today we see how God not only welcomes ones to himself and into fellowship with his people, but he uses them the very next day and through meaningful engagement and involvement. Through meaningful engagement and involvement. This isn't somebody who I already said is on the fringe. And no member of the body of Christ should ever be on the fringe. We need every member. Every member engaged, involved, using the gifts and talents which God has given you for the benefit of the whole. It is not a one-man show at First Church of Merrimack. It is not a five-man show at First Church of Merrimack, Pastor Judd, and I said five-man, six-man show, and the five elders, right? We recognize that every member of the body of Christ has an integral part to play, to be engaged in a meaningful way. Now, one of the questions that you should be asking then, as a member of the body of Christ, is, Lord, how can you use me? And then coming, after asking that question to God, coming to those in positions of leadership here at First Church of Merrimack, what can I do? How can I be involved? How can I come and be an integral part of the body of Christ? What area of service can I be engaged in? And so we see that the Lord not only welcomes Jethro, he uses him. When? The very next day. How? Through meaningful engagement and involvement. To what end? To what end? That's the next question that we ask of the text. To what end? To the blessing of all. To the blessing of all. Now, those of you who are somewhat familiar with your Bibles shouldn't be surprised that God blesses you in order to be a blessing. That's God's design. That he blesses you not so that the blessing of God would stop in your cul-de-sac and never get out, but he blesses you in order to be a blessing. This is God's way. This is the way he works. And this is the way he works in this very historical reality. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Moses, who was being buried, is now blessed. God uses Jethro to be a blessing to Moses, to lift some of the load off of Moses, to spread out the responsibility so that it doesn't all fall on one man. And God, in using Jethro, this new member of the body, blesses Moses that he might be sustained, that he might be sustained in the work which God called him to do. But not only is Moses blessed, all the people are blessed. All the people are blessed in this situation. No longer do they have to wait in line for 3.5 weeks in order to talk to Moses. Now they have from among all the people ones who have been appointed, set apart to help shepherd them, counsel them, apply God's word to them. Moses still the primary preacher and teacher, but now there are ones who are bearing the load of ruling, judging, and counseling and shepherding the people. And so God uses Jethro to expand his own ministry, that is to expand the Lord's ministry and to get it, as it were, closer to the people. This is God's blessing. And God uses what appears like just ordinary means to accomplish great benefit to the people of God. But not only is Moses blessed, not only are all the people blessed, but think how many are blessed to now be challenged to use their gifts, who were sitting on the sidelines before. And now there's an opportunity for these ones to use their God-given gifts and to be blessed in doing so. We know what Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's true in every act of service that is performed by any member of the body. You make a commitment to serve, to step up to the plate, and to be engaged intentionally, and you want to be a blessing to others, and you end up being blessed more than the others whom you are seeking to bless. And what's going on here then? God is using those whom He welcomes to the blessing of all, to the blessing of Moses, to the blessing of all the people, to the blessing of others, to use their gifts, that they might even be identified as men of valor who fear the Lord, who are trustworthy, and who are indeed unbribable. Now, you can see in our bulletin, on our prayer sheet, the very first item is that the Lord would sustain the office bearers of the church, the pastor, the elders, and the deacons. But not only that the Lord would sustain us, but that the Lord would clearly identify other men of valor who fear God, who are trustworthy, and who are unbribable to step up to the plate and to serve in this capacity. And we see it here in Exodus chapter 18. But we don't just need elders and deacons. We need Sunday school teachers. We need people to serve on the World Missions Committee or to come alongside of the World Missions Committee and serve with them. We need ones to help the Women's Service Board, to be ones that are encouraging fellowship and engagement in this congregation. We have other opportunities for service, whether it be with figuring out how microphones work, how the live streaming works, so that it's not always just falling on one person. That we would lock arm in arm with things like the free car wash to the community, where we proclaim to people, we're not going to take your money. Put your wallet away, because God, for free, at great cost to Jesus, washes not only cars, but washes our hearts by the blood of the Lord. We're moving into our Sunday school year this year. Next week, the next 2 weeks, as we transition to a new quarter in Sunday school, we need prayers, laborers, helpers, right? These are the things. And God makes use of Jethro, right? To what end? To be a blessing to Moses, to all the people, for others to use their gifts, and ultimately to the praise of the Lord. We have to dip back into last week's scripture passage, but do you remember when Jethro had heard the word testifying about what the Lord had done? Do you remember how he responded in verse 10? Blessed be the Lord. Not just Moses is blessed. Not just all the people. Not just ones who have gifts which now are being enlisted to be used for the good of all the people. But ultimately the Lord is blessed when all the people, every member of the body is engaged. One of the things that keeps people pressing on in the Lord, one of the things which God uses to keep His people pressing on in the Lord, is giving them an opportunity for service in the church. That we're not just sponges taking in, taking in, taking in, taking in, taking in, and never being wrung out. But we're blessed to be a blessing. We've got two banquets coming up, one for the Southern New Hampshire Rescue Mission, which we're engaged with. And if you want to be engaged with that, on Friday mornings, we go down and we serve breakfast in the name of Jesus to those who desperately need it. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to me or any of the World Mission Committee members. We need more people on that rotation. We've got another banquet coming up for Real Options, Crisis Pregnancy. And there are opportunities for service through that. We're, in fact, having the director for Real Options come in here on the last Lord's Day of September during the Sunday school hour to talk about ways in which you can serve, ways in which you can be engaged and use your gifts for the broader body of Christ, even beyond First Church of Merrimack. And we need to be a people who see that God not only welcomes us, He uses us. And so, how do we wrap all this up, this passage which is before us? First of all, God cares for His people. God cares for His people. How does He do so? He does so in two ways in this passage. And it's interesting. The first way in which He cares for His people is by showing all of Israel the inadequacy of Moses. Moses isn't enough. He can't bear the load. He's going to be crushed. And God cares for His people by showing His people Moses is insufficient. Why is that important? It's important because it shows that we need another. We need a different mediator of the covenant. One who can bear the heavy load and indeed conquer it. And that isn't Moses. It's the Lord Jesus who was loaded up with an unbearable load which He bore all the way to Calvary's cross, the burden of our sins. And He bore it. And He extinguished the curse against it that we might be set free. And so God in this passage, as we close and wrap it all up, He first of all cares for His people by showing us the inadequacy of Moses and pointing to the need of a greater mediator. Don't miss, there is a Christ-centeredness to this passage. But He also cares for His people by providing His care through the raising up of others. God uses your feet, your hands, your mouth, your ears in order to care for His people. God is in the business of caring and shepherding His people through us. Yes, the pastor and the elders have a specific calling and function to that. But how many one anothering commandments are there in the Bible? If we leave it up to the pastor and the elders, people are going to fall through the cracks left and right. We need to care for one another. And God cares for us through our one anothering. Writing the note of encouragement, making the phone call, sending the text message, checking in on one another with love, praying for one another, praying with one another. These are the things which God uses. And so God cares for His people. God calls His people to engagement. He calls some to lead, some to follow, all to labor for the blessing of all. And so we come to a close and we see that God uses this unlikely source of this brand new convert from paganism to accomplish great things. We might wonder, if Moses had a direct line to God, why did God have to use Jethro to tell him how to reorganize and get organized? It's interesting. You might have a problem with that, and I might have a problem with that. I might raise that objection. You might raise that objection, but God doesn't raise that objection. He delights. He delights in the using of this means to accomplish His purpose. And interestingly enough, Moses doesn't have a problem with it either. Moses has shown to be humble to recognize wisdom when it's presented to him, and wise enough to inquire of the Lord as to whether or not this wisdom is the way in which we should go. And so we might have this objection. Why do you use Jethro, this pagan priest just converted yesterday? Why don't you just tell Moses what to do? Ah, but God delights in using the weak, in using the young, in perfecting praise from the mouths of infants to the shame of those who think they're wise. And here is our God. Here is our God both welcoming and using his people for the good of all and the glory of his holy name. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we do pray that we would give ear to it, that you would help us, O Lord, to be intentionally engaged, to be a people who are interested and concerned for the welfare of Zion, that we would be those who bear one another's burdens, that we would love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ, that we would see that your Holy Spirit has mutually indwelled us all, and that we, O Father, are bountifully blessed. And so, gracious Lord, open our eyes to see opportunities, give guidance in all things, and direct us to your throne of grace in all of these matters. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."